Welcome to The Quality Horizon, a podcast produced by the IAQG for the IAQG.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to The Quality Horizon. I am your host, Susan Mattson, and with me today is the SCMH Project Management and APQP Alignment Team. They're currently working together on some guidance material, and thankfully, they agreed to take a break to talk to us today. In the room, we have the following members: Amalio Manzan, Head of Digital Quality for Airbus Defense and Space; Ivan Bangnagash, QPM System UK, Airbus Commercial; Jeff Sharon, PMP, CMBOE, Senior Business Operation Manager, Avionics for GE Aerospace; Doug Truesdale, Supplier Quality Engineering, East Region Major Commodities Lead, Air Vehicle and Mission Systems for Lockheed Martin; and Diana Giorgini, Aerospace and Defense Business Development Manager for Alta. And then rounding out the group, I have Punchin Deo with Collins Aerospace, who will also be joining me today as our co-host. Welcome to the show, everyone. In this episode, we're going to dive into the work this team is doing with project management, APQP alignment. But first, I wanted to invite one more guest, Mark Doolittle, who is the IAQG Project and Supply Chain Improvement Leader, the group that oversees SCMH, to help us set the stage for this discussion. Mark, can you give our listeners a brief background on why the PSCI team chose to form this project team to create Project Management APQB alignment guidance materials?
With the increase in popularity of advanced product quality planning, APQP, the PSCI team, Product and Supply Chain Improvement Team, moved a focus a little bit to the tools, the engineering tools of APQP. We wanted to support the appetite for this new process that obviously is gaining greatly in popularity. The realization of this came in the fact that APQP itself is not really an engineering process. The APQP process itself is really a new product introduction process that is designed to improve our advanced product development by using quality planning, i.e. advanced product quality planning, i.e. APQP. And coming to the realization that this process really was a planning process is the realization that it really is a program management process. It's a program management or project management process. So creating guidance material around project management or program management became a very high priority for us, because most people were thinking that this was an engineering process and that it was just a compilation of engineering tools, which is really incorrect. It, at its heart, it's actually a program management process. So the birth of this team, and obviously the increase in priority from the PSCI team for the proper execution of this team.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate giving us a little light on that. So it gives us a nice framework to talk and continue this panel discussion, basically, is what we have today. But Jean, thank you again for joining me as co-host. If you could, please tell our audience some of the topics that we're going to be covering. Give them a little flavor of what we'll be doing in the next few minutes.
Thank you, Susan. So a little bit of a background on what we are doing. This team who is currently working on aligning the project management and APQP guidance material, we realize that there are some misconceptions existing, which Mark already talked about, and how do we address those? So we collected some questions from the industry, and we invited our team members in this room and get their experts' opinion on that to shed some light on those misconceptions and get those issues addressed. So what we are going to do is we are going to ask some questions and get their opinion, get their feedback, so that we can really provide this input to the industry and address those issues.
Wonderful. Let's get started.
The question: my company has a well-established process for developing and industrializing products. Does APQP imply to be the redundant to the existing activities?
Many thanks, Pankaj, for the question. Very appropriate. And I would like to start emphasizing that all companies aim for on quality, on time, and on cost delivery. And at the end, for sure, to achieve customer satisfaction. However, we experience every day in the aerospace world how complex are our products and services, how tight are the schedules that we are confronting, or how much is the pressure that we have in terms of cost. And also the experience, the practical experience shows us that achieving these targets is not always simple, and many companies struggle to do so. The PQP basically comes to complement the existing programmatic development and industrial processes in order to achieve this on quality, on time, on cost, this customer satisfaction, and ultimately, and I will not say less important, profitability. It will be key to really achieve a more profitable approach in our respective businesses.
You are really right, Amalio, because EPQP is about efficiency. So assessing the main risks and acting as multifunctional team approach, leading by the project or program manager to eliminate or mitigate it. It gives to the project manager a set of tangible objectives to take the preventive action to avoid the failures.
Thanks, Ivan, for that. Let's jump into what MFT or multifunctional team is a little bit more. For APQP, it's all about coordination and collaboration, right? That's a big part of what APQP is and how that MFT really works together. Traditionally, the core of that multifunctional team is made up of supply chain, design engineering, manufacturing engineering, quality, and it's usually led by a project manager. With that said, how that team interacts together is really the importance of how and why APQP works as well as it does. For companies with mature development process, APQP can still help those companies that have repetitive failures in the cost and schedule and profit, because if they're using their existing procedures and they're still getting failures, APQP can be used to expose the hidden factories within the development process and remove silos within the company.
Wonderful. Next question. APQP requires effort and focus. What value does APQP bring to small and medium-sized companies or small and medium-sized projects?
Thank you for that question. One of the primary values that APQP brings, that is a proactive approach that enables a project manager to use objective evidence as an early warning to program risk. Addressing those risks early in the development process is very valuable, as addressing them early versus later has a big cost impact to the program. APQP is useful to any size and complexity of project because it is scalable. That's one of the big values of it as well. We can tailor the APQP process both in scope and content to based on the risk assessments that we do at the start of the project.
Jeff, what you say is very interesting to me, because if I think to the small and medium enterprises, I can say that they are quite ready to approach APQP, because in principle, there are already multifunctional approach and teams. They are flexible, they are quick in decision and changes. There are easy interconnections among their people and so on. So in some way, I can say that small is effective, small is performing. But there are also some challenges for small and medium enterprises, because they may lack the resources. The small number of people inside a company can be a problem. The lack of skilled resources, maybe the difficulty to do important investments for doing some improvements. And so we need to consider both aspects. But all these can be overcome because they can use a risk-based approach. And as we were saying before, APQP can be tailored, can be scaled to the activities which small and medium companies need to do. So I think that the most important message is that APQP is not a monolithic stuff. It's not something unreachable for the small and medium enterprises. So I really feel to suggest small and medium companies to make any efforts to approach APQP, because they must feel that they have no limits with respect to the big industries.
Thank you, Diana. I would like to bring another perspective from big companies or complex projects. Big companies face their own challenges in implementation of APQP, as those may have defined processes, they may have the skill set in their companies. However, often you see the multifunctional team working together, collaborating, is a challenge. They often work in silos. And what APQP brings is those multifunctional teams collaborating, coordinating together in order to a successful implementation. Another challenge what they face is about the accountability. As bigger the project, more number of stakeholders are in the team. And it's difficult to pinpoint on, okay, who is going to be accountable for which kind of activities. So all in all, what I would like to say is this is a cultural change. And any size of company, any size of project is going to face challenge. However, we just have to help them in order to be successful implementation of APQP. So moving on to the next question, what is the difference or similarities between project management and 9145?
Thanks, Marka, for this key question. Let's go to start by the meaning of APQP siglo. Get an advanced product. Okay, this is the meaning of the two first letters. With the best planning. And this is the key word. The best is replacing quality. And quality is not makes any reference to the quality department. It's make reference to get the best planning. By assessing the risk in advance with the approach, as we say, leading by the project manager to get the best planning. In summary, APQP gives the project management the framework to achieve the excellence.
Ivan, I really like your acronym, AP Best Planning. So I think that is a very good sum up of the spirit that there is behind this framework. But I would like to complement what is APQP and how it complements to existing project management practice. And I would like to make it from the APQP principles perspective. APQP, on the one hand, is going to supplement, to complement project management practice by strengthening the existing multifunctional team and enabling really to break the typical silos that we always see in complex projects. It also going to bring a detailed plan of critical activities and resources upfront, meaning much earlier than usually we do with program management. And also it's going to establish a set of early warnings that are going to provide us a detailed view of potential issues. And that complements works very well hands on hands with risk and opportunity management activity.
Amalio, I think that's perfect. Let me try to break down what you said a little bit more. You used the term strengthen the MFT or the multifunctional team. I think that's perfect. And really that's all about synergies, right? And allowing a team to be in an environment where they can work together and share ideas openly. I think that's critical and a critical piece of APQP. You also mentioned early warning systems. A perfect example of that is the design failure modes effects analysis and the process failure modes effects analysis. We also know those as DFEMAs and PFEMAs. That's the traditional approach that a lot of different industries use to identify risk, technical risk, early in a program instead of waiting for parts to be built. And what that does is it provides the project manager and the entire IPT with measurable objective evidence that the project is on track or off track. And they can then take action to resolve the issue or reduce the risk to the overall project to keep cost, schedule, and profit on target.
Good answers. Moving on to the next one. What is in it for me as a project manager? Jeff, can you please bring us some input on that?
Sure, Pankaj. That's a great question. I hear that question very many times from different sources. I've been a project or program manager in multiple industries with diverse companies, have different products and business structures, really had that firsthand experience of using APQP and experiencing the benefits of APQP. Besides the traditional pillars of scope management, schedule, and cost, those APQP offers the improvement areas in those. So that is a few of the opportunities or things that are benefiting a project manager. I want to add a little depth to other areas that come to mind. I spoke earlier about the risk identification, getting those risks exposed early in the process development and the product development process. So we can address things we don't know or challenges that we have earlier, the better. And that is really APQP aids us in doing that. Another part is that comes to mind is the multi-functional approach. That's the core to project management is working in a collaborative cross-functional team that is able to have inputs from each function into the development process as we mature and head to completion of the program. One of the other top elements that comes to mind is driving incorporation of lessons learned, where we can learn from many different sources. Part of it is what have our past products and processes yield? What are the challenges we've faced? It's also us taking account of what we're learning in our product design and our process design. There's organizational benefits for improving systems and procedures. And really, as we go from one project to the next, it's taking those learnings and sharing those within our organization, really closing that learning cycle to have everyone benefit from what we've learned. And really all of that aids in our project execution, our project performance. That's some of those things, such as elements are improvements to safety, quality, delivery, and cost. Those are also big areas that APQP helps us in. And all that leads to improved customer satisfaction.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for sharing your experience and really talking to future project managers, program managers who are going to want to get input on this. So moving on to the next question, 9145 is a quality-driven activity or a project management-driven activity?
Thanks, Venkesh. Another great question. We've talked about the multifunctional team or the MFT a lot already today, and it's all about that team interacting and engaging together as a group and not relying on one person to stay in their lane or their silo, but taking down those silos. So with that said, quality is not the driver of APQP. They are instead an equal contributing member of that MFT. And again, I said earlier, traditionally the MFT is made up of supply chain, design, manufacturing, and quality, but it also can include anybody who touches the product from what we call cradle to grave, or from the very start to the very end of the product. And that can go all the way from things like finite element analysis with design engineering all the way through sustainment engineering, safety, operations, special process. All those people can be part of the MFT and add value, preventing problems on the front end instead of waiting for problems to happen when parts are built.
I would like to add further and explain more about how does this multifunctional team work together and how they can collaborate together. Just as an example, you have four people sitting in a room across the table, and those represent engineering, the manufacturing engineering, quality, and supply chain. Now imagine you are working on DFMEA. Same four people, now the team is led by engineering and supported, collaborated by other three team members. Now, once the DFMEA, when the time comes to create a PFD, PFMEA, the same people, but now the team is led by manufacturing engineering and other team members give their input to that. Same goes with control plan. Quality is the leader, where you get the input from manufacturing engineering and the supply chain. And last, for supply chain, we often think that it's a supply chain responsibility and they should try to do it alone, but that's not the case. You still need identification of key characteristics. You still need to make sure that the supplier has the training, has the maturity, so that you need the support from other team functions. So what I'm trying to say is APQP enables functions working together, bringing that the goodness is there, and it has responsible function identified for each and every deliverable supported by others. Yeah. That's the value of multifunctional team working together, collaborating together. Now, moving on to the next question, how do we make small and medium-sized companies feel part of quality aerospace mindset? What IAQG can do to support them?
Oh, I would like to share my consideration with you on this topic. I like this question because we have been discussing about APQP, the benefits of APQP, and listening to very technical information. But what I would like to underline is the aerospace mindset. So every company, and especially small and medium enterprises, need to have an aerospace mindset to approach APQP. And this is something which has to do with culture, with vision. And sometimes small companies don't feel comfortable with the application of APQP. So since this is not coming overnight, they cannot invent their aerospace mindset. They need to be supported from this point of view. And so I think, in my opinion, they need to start sharing their ideas with their homologues. They need to do networking. They need to learn. They need to understand. So in some way, they need to stop their isolation in respect to the other companies, their customers, and the big industries. And I think that IAQG is the right place to start doing this, because they should discover what IAQG can offer. They need to start practicing with the tools. So they need to start an interaction, because I strongly believe that a quality performance in the aerospace sector comes from the whole supply chain. So from the big industries to the small supplier. That's my opinion on that.
Diana, I would like to reinforce your message. Join to AQG is really important, and being an active member. What is the meaning of that? Is using the SCMH supply chain manual handbook material, using the training, participating in the different forums, and giving the feedback to be sure that the aerospace industry keep improving. We must to get quality aerospace mindset in the DNA of their companies.
Good points. I would like also to emphasize the opportunity to use this platform that we are opening today, and where different subject matter experts on APQP across the industry can receive, can gather questions coming from different companies about issues, about problems, about how to get guidance, and they can answer back to you in order to further promote the implementation of APQP across the aerospace companies.
That's fantastic. So the next question, is it possible to provide a facilitated version of project management APQP for small and medium scale companies? I would like to get Mark's opinion on that. Mark, would you like to share your thoughts?
Real quickly, I'd like to say too as well, I personally wasn't part of the development of this podcast, but I guess you could call me the first listener, if you will. The message you guys just put forward is incredible, quite frankly. It is right on. It is right on. And it's one of the most critical messages we need to get across to people who have misconceptions about APQP being a quality process or a quality tool. You guys are leading that chart, so I really appreciate that. But anyways, back to the question. So how can we get this into smaller companies? We're actually working right now, the IAQG is actually working right now with a partner, a third-party training company. And by the way, the third-party training company has been doing APQP training for many years in the automotive world. We just actually met with them last week in Orlando, and we're developing an aerospace-specific train that's going to be all about APQP and the entire beginning section of this training. We were very careful to design this correctly. The entire beginning section of this training is going to be around program management, project management. It's not till later in the training that we actually start talking the engineering tools. So we're going to try and take the message that you've just given and teach it. Now, the question itself was, how can this go into smaller companies? And that's a great question. And that was pretty much one of our number one goals of this training, was developing actually a tiered cost structure. So the training itself is actually going to cost different depending on the size of the company. Because our main goal in this is actually to try and get this concept, these things you've just been talking about, down to a very low tier 3, tier 4, tier 5 companies to really change the foundational culture of our industry. So you're actually going to see quite large discounts in price depending on the size of the company to help achieve this.
Fantastic. So thank you so much, Mark, for your inputs. APQP is about de-risking product and process development. However, is it not already covered by risk and opportunity management?
So I've got some thoughts on this one, if I can try to answer this one. So traditionally, project managers there's many different forms of risk and opportunity management processes out in the market. You can choose the one you like the best. But we still, as an industry, have issues and trouble keeping costs and schedule and profit in line with expectations of the business. So the reason for that is that there is still a gap with the technical design and process risks. And what APQP does and helps us do is it exposes those design risks at a granular level and really brings them to the surface and shines a light on them so that they can be addressed by the multifunctional team. So what this does is it complements with the risk and opportunity management on the project so that it can become visible and addressed by the MF.
Thank you so much, Doug, for giving that input. I just want to add to that, just to continue on this on the same line. Imagine on a project or on a program, you identify risk and opportunities, but those are always on a higher level. Many times we see program manager do not get the right level of information. What are the risks are lying in my design and my process, which are going to be impacting directly to my cost, to my schedule, to my scope sometimes. So APQP does offer, in terms of DFMEA, PFMEA, those high level risk items, which can be then addressed on a program or project level. This does not mean that the risk and opportunity metrics on a program should be replaced by DFMEA and PFMEA. This does not mean that. What it means is on a top RPN items lying in your DFMEA and PFMEA, you have an opportunity to highlight on a leadership level and get some attention to those. If those issues are identified and highlighted upfront early in the program, there's a good chance that you're going to tackle it, you're going to eliminate that risk, and you're going to save yourself from slipping up on a schedule, slipping up cost of the program.
Yeah, I would like to summarize that thanks to the APQP approach for the risk management, bring the opportunity to the business continuity and bottom up and up down cascade of the risk in both directions. That I think that make more efficiency the project management.
Thanks a lot, Ivan. Moving on to the next question. Why to apply APQP if my customer do not require it? Jeff, do you want to share your thoughts on this?
Yeah, certainly. We spoke at length about this earlier, and many of us touched on the advantages of APQP. Why we'd apply it when the customer isn't really requiring it is that those are the same benefits that we would have for that. But one additional benefit, really the best situation where APQP becomes part of the company culture. We're not having to have the customer require us to have us do this, but we embrace the APQP tools for their own merit, how they improve our systems, how they improve our performance. And really, that's the distinction between the two. As we mature and this becomes just a part of our daily business, this is how we do things. Things like a competitive advantage. It's a competitive advantage for companies to embrace APQP just for that framework that APQP brings. Improvements in profitability, operational performance, ending up reducing project costs. Those have a multiplying effect on company performance and how the customers see us as well. I mentioned earlier about identifying issues sooner in the process. That's invaluable as we have orders of magnitude increasing cost to try to address situations and issues later on in the development of the program. And these tools that we mentioned, risk analysis, the PNDFMEAs are very valuable tools to do this. But one other thing is the long-term sustainable benefits, because we are continuing to learn. The lessons learned, every program we get better, the next program is better. And that's really the continuous improvement mindset that we're taking with APQP.
Next question. Should companies contractually define APQP requirements to the sub-tiers?
So if I can give some perspective on this one, from coming from an OEM and dealing with sub-tiers almost on a daily or weekly basis, from my perspective, the APQP culture and philosophy, it should be part of the culture of that supplier or sub-tier inherently, especially for AS9100 suppliers who have the certification. So with that said, no, and it's my opinion that there is no need to flow the AS9145 or APQP requirement down to the sub-tier base, because the sub-tier should be doing it themselves because of the synergies and the benefit that the MFT multifunction team approach gives to that sub-tier.
I like what you just said. I just want to bring another perspective. As we all know, we do have some companies who are ahead of the game in implementation of APQP, but there are small to medium-sized companies who hasn't even started their APQP journey. As a project manager, if I'm getting some new additional requirements, which I'm not aware of as of now, which I should be anyways, but as of now, I'm getting a new project, I'm starting a new project, and I need to know what exactly my scope is. I need to know exactly what are the new requirements coming in so that I can prepare myself better in order to implementation of APQP. So I think there is no right answer to this. You're absolutely right. I agree with you that companies should embrace APQP in their culture and it should not be a flow down necessary. But I think we are 3 to 5 years away from that reality to happen. We have just started the APQP journey.
Another reason for me that try to avoid any kind of frustration for both sides from the perspective of the customer or the supplier, even on the top of the contractual framework, the customers should be start to cascade or to flow this kind of information or mindset about the APQP to be sure that they is able to engage as soon as possible the supply chain to be sure when they have really the contractual structure is able to face the APQP mindset internally in their companies.
Great. So moving on to the next question. APQP standard was developed in the automotive sector where a high volume is the norm. However, is APQP really beneficial to the environments with very low volume or even one-off projects? Do you want to share your thoughts?
Yeah, thanks, Prakash. I think that this is the typical question. As probably all of us, APQP board or comes from the automotive industry. And the automotive industry, one of the characteristics is about the big volume. But an APQP is an structural risk assessment approach to manage complexity. And for me, this is the key word. Complexity in some cases could be from the big volume that you need to afford. But in other cases, is like in the case of the aerospace industry, that is a very complex to the high level of regulation that cover and ensure the safety of the aviation. And for the reason for me, whatever is the rate, and based on the risk level of APQP, is the best tool to manage the complexity in the aerospace industry. And this is for me the summarized. APQP is the best tool to manage complexity inside of the project management structure of whatever company. Doesn't matter the rate, because at the end of the day, you can customize according to your needs. That is defined by your level of risk.
You're completely right, Ivan, and I will just complement. Coming back to the initial post of APQP, as well as any project manager trying to deliver on quality, on time, on cost, and with customer satisfaction, this principle applies. It doesn't matter if we are talking about a high volume project or about a one-off. These objectives are fully consistent. Therefore, the benefit of APQP is fully consistent in both scenarios.
One more point, if I may. I think sometimes there's confusion in the industry that APQP is associated with variation management, CPK or PK or what have you. It's not the same thing, right? When you build one product, a one-off product, you should be doing design risk analysis, process risk analysis, control plans. How are you testing and validating and verifying that product, even as a one-off? And all those decisions and conversations have to happen within the organization outside of variation management. They're two separate things.
This is great discussion, guys, on this. Thank you so much. Moving on to the next question. In defense and space business, some customers drive specific standards such as AQAB or ECS or AS6500. Why do apply APQP in these environments?
So I'd like to try to answer this question if I can. So with the different agencies that drive the different requirements, like NATO or the European Space Agency, or the Department of Defense from the US or United States, the requirements are going to be different from each agency slightly, but there's also going to be overlap from each with APQP. For instance, the AS6500 requirement does require a DFEMA, PFEMA, for example, as just one example, but the analysis needs to be done and suppliers should view these customers as individual entities. And as for now, they're going to have different requirements that need to be analyzed against APQP, but APQP can be used to subsidize or help with identifying risk up front and moving everything left and helping out with cost and schedule requirements, even for different requirements from different customers.
You're right. And I think that in one way we have the requirement, and in another way we have the way to achieve the requirement, that is the APQP. For the reason it's fully complementary. And APQP is the best approach to be sure that you are fulfilling all the targets.
Okay, moving on to the next question. What is the return on investment of APQP? Emilio, can you please share your thoughts on this?
For sure. APQP is a profitable but longer game. And it's important that we keep that in mind. I will mention two important drivers that exemplify why APQP is profitable. On the one hand, we have an effect in all big projects, for sure, in the aerospace environment, where we have a significant increase of the cost of defects as later we are discovering the life cycle. And there are some studies that tells you that there is a factor of 10 between the cost that implies to detect one defect in one stage of the life cycle or in the next one. So just to put it simple, if you detect a defect in design, just to put the number, it could cost $100. If you detect in initial phases of production, it costs $1,000. If you detect further on, it will be $10,000. That means that the factor that you are applying when you detect them early enough, it will be a factor of $1,000 or even more. So this is why it's so important to have an early detection of issues and a proper risk mitigation. The second factor is the margin arming effect. Basically, when a milestone or a scheduled deliverable is missed, we have two losses. On the one hand, we have a payment loss that we are missing because we are not getting the money that usually we'll get by achieving a given milestone, but also we'll need to cover an extra cost for each day that we overrun and we have to pay overheads that cannot progress with the work. So at the end, the impact of this element can become even higher than the element that I was mentioning, that I was previously mentioned. So these both elements together shows a huge potential of APQP, making the project much more profitable. However, we were saying that it's a long-term gain. This approach, this APQP, requires a mindset change, and even in some cases, a cultural change. So it's something that consequently doesn't happen overnight and will require a sustained effort and focus on the implementation of the methodology.
Thank you so much. Do you want to share your thoughts on this?
Yeah, if I may add a little bit. If great comments, Emilio. I think the other big part of this is that a lot of the suppliers in aerospace are starting to adopt APQP. The ones that do are going to see that long-term benefit eventually because this is a proven tool. It's been proven in automotive. The suppliers that don't are going to continue to have problems with cost and schedule overruns. And eventually, that business is going to shift to suppliers that provide better quality and on-time delivery. So that's part of the long-term game that needs to be considered by the supply base.
I didn't agree.
Thank you so much. Moving on to the next question. Would the company be compliant with 9145 if they use the guidance material created by this team on project management APQP alignment. Ivan, do you want to share your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that the APQP is not about compliance, yes or not. It's farther than this. It's about a preventive mindset inside of your company. For the reason, the toolbox material are going to help you, the tooling set, to develop your APQP process in your company. But one process is more than this. It's about the method, it's about the people, and it's about the tools. You have the tools, but after that, you need to deploy your process and you need to deploy your people. And one of the most important things is that you have completely different ways to deploy the process and the people according to the 9145. And it depends on your needs, the needs of your company. Different companies, they have completely different approaches. That all of them, we can say that is fully compliant with the 9145.
Yeah, I'd like to add a little other commentary to that. It's great information. One of the things that here is critical, we have very comprehensive tools and checklists and toll gate process. But part of it, I just want to reinforce, and we spoke about it earlier, is that the collaboration in creating these documents and these tools and using them, it has to be the multifunctional team. Everyone's participating in their creation. We have to be using those along the way, these are living documents. The teams need to continually assess changes that are happening along the way. How does this impact me in my function, and how does this impact others in the overall program? So it's critical that they continue to be a living document so we can take the value that they bring with the team.
If I can add on just one more thing. So I've seen in the industry, in multiple industries that I've been a part of over the years, where a supplier will just tick the box to get the work done, to get the deliverable done, whether that's the piecing or the control plan, what have you, right? Or the checklist or the gate review. If a supplier does not take APQP seriously and does not use, as Jeff was mentioning, the multifunctional team approach and take it seriously, then you can complete the documents, but APQP will still fail. It will not help your process or product or risk. And your schedule and profit can still slip. And you can look at your APQP and say, I did it, but it didn't work. But that's why. So the supplier has to be serious about implementation of APQP and really use the approach and internalize it and make it part of your culture.
Thanks a lot, Doug, for sharing your thoughts on that. And it's indeed important on the maturity of those tools rather than making tick in the box. And I have done those activities and I'm APQP compliant. That mindset needs to change. Next question. Agile is more and more used as a development approach, relying on a trial and error rather than a planning and prevention mindset. Are the Agile principles compatible with APQP?
Pankaj, this is a very good question. And it has a simple answer, that is yes, it is compatible. However, let me develop a little bit the answer. APQP is a framework aiming to ensure customer satisfaction and ultimately to make projects more profitable, as we have discussed before. This framework can be adapted to waterfall approaches or to agile approaches or even to hybrids, that is the common house solution that we have when we are mixing agile and waterfall projects in one. Looking to agile, the objectives that we have mentioned are completely compatible, and even we can integrate APQP routines in the agile routines. Just to give some examples, the multifunctional team or the customer focus are elements that are well implicitly deployed in things like sprints or Kanban, just to mention a couple of elements of agile commonly or widely used. What is important to realize is that the initial practices that we are seeing in the aerospace world about applying APQP in agile projects shows that the key success factor is to integrate APQP routines into the existing agile routines. It's basically the same approach that we have suggested during the podcast. We are integrating APQP into project management, and equally, the key success factor is to integrate APQP routines within the existing agile routines.
Thank you so much, Emilio, for sharing your thoughts. I do want to acknowledge that as they are compatible, there are a few contradictory elements to agile and APQP as well. As the requirements are in agile can change based on the customer feedback, and you have a no rigid line created there. However, in our aerospace industry, it is highly regulated, safety driven, and need to be done few things in a certain way. So there is a challenge how to find a good balance, and you use the word hybrid, which is a good middle ground where you are utilizing the goodness of waterfall. At the same time, the agile methodology, which is going to give you the speed and the customer satisfaction. So the combination of both could be a good solution, but I think we are not there yet, and we need to explore more in this space. With this, we would like to conclude our podcast session.
Thank you so much, everyone. I really think we all learned so much from what you had to say and your different perspectives. This has been so educational, and I have to say, I do agree with Mark. You just all have a lot to offer on this topic, and the materials that you're all compiling really does touch every aspect of the industry and beyond. To learn more about what this team is doing and the information that they are compiling and sharing with our industry, please visit the SCMH at scmh.iaqg.org under the Plan and Management section. This is Susan Mattson, and you have been listening to the IAQG Quality Horizon. Until next time, stay safe.
Thank you for tuning in to the Quality Horizon, a product of the International Aerospace Quality Group.